Bibles. I hope you brought your Bible with you tonight. Let's turn to the third John, if you would. We'll be in the New Testament beginning, and we'll begin in third John. There's only one chapter in third John. We'll read a few verses here to kind of springboard us, I guess, into a message tonight. Brother Richardson asked me this afternoon if I would preach tonight, and I thought about preaching on prayer. But then had a couple of other thoughts in my mind, and I believe that this is maybe the direction that we're to go in tonight a little bit. I want to talk to you a little bit about what you hold in your lap this evening, that is the Word of God. We live in some very dark days. I think everybody would agree with that. We live in a day and age where things aren't getting better, things are getting worse. And I believe that we could honestly say tonight the reason that life in this world is worse off today is because we've drifted away from the Word of God. We often teach that. We often preach about that. Brother Richardson talked about it this morning. And it all comes back to God's Word. And I'd like to say as a testimony, I want to thank God tonight that we have the Word of God. There's a lot of people in this world that do not have a copy of the Word of God. And we are very, very blessed. I'm sure we could all testify. We probably own many Bibles in our own homes, and there's probably you probably have two or three even yourself, and maybe you have what you call your favorite Bible, and it's very, very special, and it ought to be something very precious in our lives. So I want to talk to you a little bit about the Word of God, and then also a little bit about the heart of an individual, and I want to talk to you a little bit about that. Well, let's do this. Let's just go ahead and we'll read and we'll get into our message tonight. We have here 3 John in the New Testament. I will ask in a few moments if you would have turned with me to some other passages of Scripture. But let's begin right here. You'll find here the Apostle John is the one that is writing. He's going to write to an individual here. He's going to make some comments about that person. And I want to take that and use it a little bit to begin with tonight about our life that we live. Your life is as special as anybody else that you're going to find in the Word of God. We know this evening that God is no respecter of persons. That means that God doesn't think more of one person than He does another person. We find that we're going to read a little bit here of something that John mentions, and I want to take that and use that, and we'll jump right into our message. Let's go verse number 1. The Bible says, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health." So he tells him here as he writes the letter that he hopes that he's doing well. He hopes in his prayer for him is that he would prosper and be in health. And I want to take that one little phrase talking about health here tonight, and we'll come back to that in just a moment. But he goes on to say, "Even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee." Very, very important we understand that he's making a reference here to his life and how that it was a testimony of him that the brethren were reporting back about him, that the truth was in him. You see, tonight, I believe it's the truth of the Word of God that's going to change a person's life. It is the truth of God's Word that as we read it, as we learn, and as we grow, it's the truth of the Word of God that's actually going to make a difference in our life, in the life of others. And it even testifies here, and he testified, it says in verse number 3, "of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth." So the truth was deposited or invested in this man, and it is a testimony. People had reported about how the truth, you need to talk to this guy. I mean, the truth is in him. And we also find here, because the truth of the Word of God was in him, it also made a difference in the way he lived his life. Because you find at the end of verse number 3 where it says, "even as thou walkest in the truth." So the way he lived his life was very evident that the truth was in him. But it's a little backwards to say that, because actually it should be worded that because the Word of the truth was in him, the result of that is it made a difference in his life. There is nothing in this world that will make a bigger impact on your life other than the Word of God. I don't know of anything any more important that we may possess tonight outside of our salvation other than the Word of God. It's the truth that we find in the Word of God that comes into our life, and it's that truth that can make a difference to the point where it even affects the way you live your life, the way you walk in life, the way you conduct yourself in life, the way you behave in life. And it's the truth that makes the difference in a person's life. He goes on in verse number 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You know, there is a joy that comes to a believer when we realize and find out that so-and-so is walking in the truth and they're serving the Lord. You know, I know that many of you that's worked maybe even in the school here that that our church has, and over the years that impact that maybe the school and the ministry of this church has impacted the life of people and young people and young boys and girls and teenagers. You know, there's nothing anymore that brings more joy to a believer to see them later in life to find out that they're still walking in the truth that was handed down to them. There's joy that comes to a Sunday school teacher that maybe teaches young boys and girls, and then later in life you hear that they're still in church and still serving God, and there's joy that comes to that. And there is joy when you invest in a person's life and teach them the truth of the Word of God, and that truth remains in that person, and the truth changes that individual, and later in life, they're still walking in the truth that was handed down to them years prior. There's joy that comes to that. But I want to jump back up here just a little bit, and I want to go back, if we may, to verse number two, where he talks and wishes him well. He wishes him a prosperity, and he also wishes health upon him. And I guess because of all that's been in the news for the past, I mean, you turn on the news, it's all about health insurance. I mean, the debate that's raging in our country is about health insurance and losing health insurance or gaining health insurance or who has the better health insurance and what's it going to cost you for health insurance. And we put a lot of emphasis on health insurance because when it really comes down to it, everybody wants to be healthy. In fact, there's a lot of money in health. When you pay premiums for health insurance, it costs a lot of money to have health insurance. There's news. Everything in the news tonight is about health insurance. There's a lot of money that is made off of health insurance. There's a lot of commercials on television about health. If you need to lose weight, they've got a pill for you. If you want to quit smoking, they've got a pill for you. If you're suffering from depression, they've got a pill for you. Why? There's a lot of money in health because everybody wants to live a healthy life. And because of that, we put a lot of money, we invest our money and our finances into health because all of us tonight want to live a healthy life. But tonight, I want to go a different direction with that. And I think tonight, as a believer, all of us tonight ought to strive to be Christ-like. We call ourselves Christians because the word Christian means to be Christ-like. And I think we all strive tonight, and we all know the importance of living our life in such a way that it portrays Christ to the world. So instead of talking about physical health tonight, I want us to go a little bit different direction and talk about spiritual health tonight. You see, tonight, it's only healthy spiritual people are going to survive. Tonight, I'm sure that everybody could maybe remember somebody that used to go to church, but they no longer go to church and they're out of church tonight. Or we may say that they're away from God, or we may say they're out of the will of God, or they're no longer attending church, and they're no longer serving God. You know, why is it? Why is it? I've always wondered, how is it that some stay by the stuff year after year, and boy, they go to church week after week and year after year, and they give their life to Christ, and they stay faithful to Him, but yet on the other hand, there are some that gives their life to Christ, but they fall off by the wayside. Why is that? You know, I believe it all comes down to the condition of whether a person is healthy spiritually or weak spiritually. And tonight, I want us to look a little bit at health spiritually tonight and how it works in our life and how important it is that we understand that we need to live a healthy spiritual life if we're going to survive another week. Now, none of us should ever say, well, I'll never quit. There's been a lot of people that have said, I'll never quit, and they quit. It was Peter. We often mention Peter in the Word of God, that he was the one that always put his foot in the mouth and, it would never happen to me, but yet it happened to him. So none of us tonight can say that it would never happen because, you know, if you find yourself weak spiritually in life and circumstances arise in life, it's easy to quit on the things of God. I've often looked at it this way. Quitting is an easy way out. Serving is a pretty tough goal to set in life. Because we all have an enemy tonight, we know that, but I want to go past that. You know, I'm amazed at how much emphasis that we do put. Have you ever really thought about, I mean, you just watch television tonight. I mean, commercial after commercial after commercial is all centered around a person's health. It's all centered around living a healthy, productive life. And we put a lot of emphasis on that, but I'm amazed at how little emphasis we as believers put on living a healthy spiritual life. Because it's very, very important that we are healthy spiritually in our life. You know, I'm amazed at how many people have health problems. And I guess watched just a little bit of the news this morning, and before I came to church this morning, there was a segment on the news, and they had some doctors on there, and they were talking about some new studies on cholesterol and of whether or not you should take medication for it or not, and they're kind of backing off a little bit on some of the medication they're prescribing for cholesterol and so forth, and they were talking about how cholesterol then affects your heart, and that's what I want to focus on tonight, is the heart of a believer, and how that as a believer, my heart for God needs to be healthy, or I'm not going to live a very effective life for Christ. You see, you're not going to do much for God if your spiritual heart tonight is not healthy tonight. And it's important that I make sure that my heart is right between me and God. And I'm the only one tonight that can take care of my heart. You can't do anything about it. You can't correct my heart. You can't make it right. You can't make it wrong. Only I have the choice tonight to decide of what condition my heart's going to be in spiritually tonight. Now, people today are very conscious of the heart problems and a lot of emphasis put on it. If you were to go to the doctor tomorrow and you go in for a checkup, or you go in for any kind of problem that you have, one of the things they're going to do every time you go is check your blood pressure. Because your blood pressure tells them a little bit about the condition of your heart, because your heart is so vitally important to your health that every time you go to a physical physician, a doctor, they're always going to check that blood pressure to see if your heart is operating like it ought to. Well, tonight, we're going to take that same thought tonight and look into the heart to determine whether our heart is healthy or not. Our health is very important physically, and we talk so much about that, and we often, I find myself getting there. We talk a lot about our physical ailments and our problems, and as we get older, we have more problems physically. We talk much about it, but, you know, we need to look and find out, how are we spiritually in life? Are we vibrant? Are we healthy? Are we a fruitful Christian tonight? Are we spiritually healthy tonight? Are we thriving spiritually in our life? Or are we suffering a little bit spiritually in our life? Now, I want to start off tonight by saying the physical heart of our bodies tonight is the center of all of our health. There are some things that you can live without. You can't live without a heart. They can remove a kidney and you can still live, but they can't remove your heart and not put something back there to make sure it's beating and pumping the blood through your body. You cannot live without a healthy heart. Now, tonight, there are four factors that relate to your heart tonight. I jotted down a few here, and let me give them to them. Number one, they're going to ask a little bit of questions. If you go to the doctor, if you're having some heart problems, they're going to want to know, number one, what's the family history with heart problems? They're going to want to know, did your father have high blood pressure? Did your mother have high blood pressure? Did your grandparents struggle with heart disease of some sorts? And you have to fill out all this paperwork, and they're going to want to know the history of your family. They want to know more about you. They want to go back and find out if it's hereditary or not, because if it's that, it could be that you have heart problems that are completely out of your control. It was just handed down to you, as we say. Then also, the second thing that comes into play when it comes to your heart is metabolism. In fact, there is a commercial out a lot about that now. And they've got something that you can sprinkle on your food, and somehow it increases your metabolism a little bit. And metabolism is the rate that you burn or use up calories in your body. Now, you don't really have a lot of control over whether it was handed down to you. And when it really comes down to metabolism, there's not a lot. There's a little bit you can do there, but there's not much that you have any control over that either. But the next two ingredients that I want to talk to you about, you do have control over. And that is going to be diet and exercise. So diet and exercise are two things that you can do personally on your own to help yourself to be more healthy, to make sure that your heart is healthy. And those are two things that you do have control over. Now, only a disciplined individual can control them, because when it comes to diet and exercise, you got to be disciplined in life. It's easy to leave church tonight and go out and eat a greasy hamburger. It's easy to go home tonight and eat a big bowl of ice cream before you go to bed tonight. You say, why are you saying those? Because I'm guilty of those. And it takes discipline not to eat what we call bad foods. It takes discipline to say no to potato chips and greasy hamburgers and french fries and all those things that we like so much. But, eating them, and by the way, if you eat that on a long period of time and that's your diet, physically, you're going to end up having some problems in life. Because the greasy hamburgers and the french fries and the ice cream, it's going to make some deposits in your body, and it's going to close off some blood vessels, and the blood's not going to flow, and it's going to create some problems. You're going to add on the pounds, and on it goes, because you're eating a bad diet. And a bad diet is always going to give you problems somewhere down the road. Well, there's so much about health and nutrition and eating right and eating your vegetables and all those things. And they're very important. If you want to live a good, healthy physical life, then you've got to watch what you eat. You've got to exercise. You've got to get proper amounts of sleep every single night and do all the things that are in your control. And hopefully the result will be that you are a physically healthy individual. Now, tonight, we want to talk a little bit about the spiritual. And I'm going to use the same principles a little bit to apply to the spiritual as well, and talk to you a little bit about the condition of the heart spiritually tonight, because if our hearts spiritually are not healthy tonight, and if we continually feeding our spiritual life junk food all of our life, we're going to have some problems down the road. And tonight, that's why some people fall by the wayside, because they don't feed their spiritual life healthy food. We live in this world, but we've got to understand some facts tonight. We may live in this world, but we're not a part of this world tonight. And we've got to understand there are dangers in this world that we live in. And if we continually indulge ourselves in the things of the world, it's going to hurt us spiritually in life. Go to the book of Psalms. Let's go to Psalms chapter 51. I'm going to look at about four, maybe five verses tonight. I'll read a verse. I'm only going to have one about every point that we have here, and talk to you just real quickly about the importance of your life spiritually having a healthy heart. Psalms 51, verse number 10. It's a well-known verse. You may know it, and you'll remember it when I read it. But Psalms 51:10 says this: "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." As a believer tonight, I need a clean heart. But I'm going to be honest with you. It's hard to have a clean heart. It's hard in the world that you live in not to be affected by the world. For instance, some of you will have to go to work tomorrow, and you may work with some people that don't talk very godly. You may work with somebody that uses foul language. You may work in an environment where people talk about things that they have no business talking about. And your ears are going to hear some things that your ears ought not to hear. But it's just a part of the place that you work, and it's hard for that not to affect you. We live in a world, dear friend, where that sin abounds everywhere you look. It's hard to go to a restaurant. About everywhere you go now, there's alcohol that's being served about everywhere that you go nowadays. Everywhere you go, there's music playing, and we need to realize and understand the power behind music. There's a reason why everywhere you go, there's music playing. You pump gas, there's music playing. You go into a convenience store, there's music playing. You go into a restaurant, there's music playing. I mean, everywhere you go, there's music everywhere. Why? Because there's a lot of power behind music. And music can be very harmful in some ways. You drive down the road and you see things with your eyes that would not be pleasing to God. It's just amazing how people behave. I mean, out in public, no shame. And as a believer, we live in that and we live in this world, but we must understand tonight, but we're not of this world tonight. And we've got to be careful. And we find here in Psalms 51:10 where it says, "Create in me a clean heart." That ought to be our goal and our ambition every single day, is to live this day and at the end of the day saying, "Create in me a clean heart." Why? If you don't have a clean heart, that means you've got a dirty heart. And when you've got a dirty heart, it means that it's been fed the junk food of this world, and now it's created some problems in your spiritual heart. And when you have spiritual heart problems, dear friend, you are going to become weak. And dear friend, you won't be effective as a believer when your heart is weakened because it's dirty. But it's a challenge. It's a challenge to live godly. It's a challenge to protect our eyes in the world that we live in. It's a challenge to protect our ears from what we hear and our eyes and what we see. And it's a challenge every day of our life. But we've got to realize the challenge that is before us and realize, hey, I've got to protect my heart. I've got to make sure that my heart stays pure and clean before God. And it ought to be our prayer every day in asking God to create in me a clean heart, not a dirty one. Problem is that we often find ourselves feeding from the world. You know, we've often made the statement, and we've all heard it to be very, very true. It's a sad day when you can't tell God's people from the lost people. And when saved people live like lost people, and saved people talk like lost people, and we sing like lost people, and we act like lost people, and we go where lost people goes, and there's no difference between the saved and the unsaved, we've got a very big problem. And I believe that we're in that day today. You see, I believe today that churches are full of people that want to be they want to be like God on Sunday, but yet they want to go to work tomorrow and fit in with everybody at work and be like them. And it's not always easy. In fact, I'm going to say that it's not easy at all. Because there's a battle that's going to rage every day in your life. And you're going to find that the struggles are going to rage in your life of the world that's pulling at you. And Satan's going to pull at you. And yet God's going to pull at you. And you're going to be pulled back and forth. But you have to decide what you're going to feed your heart. Because what you feed your heart spiritually, dear friend, is going to determine whether or not it's going to be healthy or whether it's going to be unhealthy. And boy, the world has a lot to offer you. And we put, I'm afraid, a lot of junk food in our life. We make bad choices and we make bad decisions in life, and we allow the cholesterol of the world and the fat of the world and the bad junk food of the world, if you would, to enter into our hearts. And as it enters into our heart, it always tarnishes the heart. And that's why we need to pray, as we find here in Psalms chapter 51, "Create in me a clean heart." Boy, that we ought to pray every single day that God help me, protect me from the world, and pray daily and say, God, I've got to go to work today. And there's people there that don't love you. And there's going to be people there today that say things that I ought not to hear. And God, help me today to be able to live this day, but yet at the end of the day still have a clean heart. And it ought to be our daily prayer. The Bible, by the way, is the center, I believe, of spiritual health. If we're going to have a healthy spiritual heart tonight, I honestly believe it's going to start with the Word of God. You see, tonight, I honestly believe that it's the power of the truth of the Word of God that's going to make a difference. And I found it to be so very true in my own life of how that is the Word of God. Isn't it amazing how the Word of God can penetrate our hearts? And I mean, how conviction comes in life. And by the way, being convicted is not a bad thing. Conviction is actually a good thing. We often kind of use the word conviction in a negative way. Well, they were just convicted of their sins. You know, all of us ought to be convicted of our sins. Well, you know, they fell under conviction. You know, I think as a believer, we ought to fall under conviction every day of our life. We ought to be convicted of the wickedness in our life and our shortcomings and our sin and our faults and our failures in life. And we all have faults and failures in life. And we need to realize tonight that the answer to the problems that we have spiritually is the Word of God. You know, I'm glad tonight that we are a member of a church that still believes that this right here is the answer for mankind. It's not some special programs, and I'm not against churches having special programs to help people and so forth, but I just believe tonight that you're not going to improve on the Word of God. There's not a program a church can come up with. There's not a book that a man can write that's going to outdo the Word of God. This is the answer tonight. It's called the Word of God. And this is the beginning tonight of a healthy heart is through the Word of God. The Bible is important to our spiritual health tonight. Jeremiah chapter 15. Let me read you one verse here. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse number 16. Here's what it says. The words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. You see, tonight, we need to devour the Word of God. I mean, we need to read the Word of God. You know, it's amazing. It's reading God's Word and trying to get people to read their Bibles like trying to pull teeth. Why? We're all busy. We don't have a lot of time. We've got this to do. We've got that to do. And we fall short so many times in life because we neglect the Word of God. If we get sick tonight, what's the first thing you're going to do? We're going to run to the doctor. If we have a problem, what's the first thing we're going to do? We're going to call up our best friend and tell them about our problems. Isn't it amazing that the first thing we ought to always do is turn to God with our problems? I mean, if we have a health problem, the first person we ought to go to with our health problem is God. I've got news for you. Praise God for doctors, but the greatest physician that's ever lived is Jesus Christ. How often do we neglect prayer just for our simple health needs? How often do we neglect prayer when a problem arises? We want to run to our best friend and tell them and try to get some advice from them and try to get some encouragement from this person. Hey, the first person you ought to run to is God, because He's got the answers. We ought to devour it. In Jeremiah chapter 15, 16, it talks about how I did eat them, talking about the Word of God. You know, it's almost like eating a meal. You say, well, we don't have time. You know, we're busy and so forth. Isn't it amazing? We always have time for about three meals a day, physically. But how often do we have time for God spiritually in our life? And what happens is when we don't read God's Word and we don't pay any attention to the Word of God and we neglect God's Word, and when we do that, it always hurts us spiritually, and it always starts with the heart. You know, I believe this. Everybody would agree with me. I don't think I'm giving you anything you don't already agree with. Everybody ought to read God's Word. We ought to read it. We often talk about how we ought to study it. We ought to go to church so we can be under the teaching of the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God. We sing about the Word of God. We pray. And we know that those things are important in life. And by the way, you know, isn't it amazing that you even have to make this statement now in church? Not only do we need to read the Word of God, we need to believe the Word of God. Well, everybody believes the Word of God. Oh, dear friend, we are a nation full of people that go to church but yet don't believe what they go to church and hear about. But I want to go a lot further than that tonight and make, you know, and realize tonight that we need to do more than just read it, and we ought to do more than just believe it. We ought to act upon it. And here's where we come into a lot of trouble. A lot of people believe the Word of God. A lot of people will even read the Word of God, but the problem we have tonight is it's awful difficult to live the Word of God. Because you're going to find tonight it's pretty tough to live the Word of God. When the Bible tells me that I ought to love my enemies, that's pretty tough. When the Bible tells us that we ought to turn the other cheek, and I'm just giving some scenarios here a little bit, you know, that's not always easy to do. When the Bible tells us that we ought to pray for our enemies, I mean, I'll be honest with you tonight. It's hard to pray for people that don't like me. The Bible tells me that I ought to pray for all the kings and our government and so on. I'll be honest with you. It's hard for me sometimes to pray for those rascals sometimes. And sometimes we find that our prayer and what we do pray is not right sometimes. You know, I find myself, I'll pray for my enemies, and I'll pray, God, please send judgment. And what am I doing? I'm praying in the wrong spirit. I'm asking it in the wrong spirit, and that's not right of me. Because there's not a soul on this planet that God does not love. And the one that you dislike, or the one you have trouble with at work, or that boss that dislikes you, and whoever it may be tonight, you need to realize God loves them as much as He loves you. And it's tough. And it's not easy. But dear friend, there's so much in the Word of God tonight. And if we would just practice what we say we believe tonight, we might would make a difference in this world. You know, I think one of the biggest faults of the church of today is that our churches are full of people that are not real when they walk out the door. And I'll be honest with you, lost people hate phony Christians. And a lost person can see that as fast as anybody. You know, what we need to understand tonight is that we are believers in Christ. Christ is our Savior tonight. He's given us the Word of God tonight for us to read, for us to study, for us to learn from, and to go out in the world and live the book that we read called the Word of God, the Bible tonight. And when you go out into the world and you live this book right here, you can have some impact in this life we live in. But I'm afraid that often we go through the motions. We go to church on Sunday because we know that's what we're supposed to do. And we go through the motions of the Christian life on Sunday. But listen, dear friend, the Christian life is not just for Sunday. It's for every day of the week. What the people need at work, where you work tomorrow, more than anything is somebody just to be real. That family member that's unsaved in your family, what they need from you more than anything is for you to live the Word of God and just be a real believer tonight. The Bible is important. It is the beginning point of a healthy life. If we're going to have a healthy heart tonight, it's going to come from the Word of God. You see, tonight there's not a special class that we can have as a church and say, hey, come 6 weeks to this class, and when you get done, we'll give you a certificate. We'll give you a certificate stating that you have now completed the class of having a healthy heart, and just boom, you've got a healthy heart. It doesn't work that way. It takes a lot of hard work. It takes a constant battling the world that we live in and the sin of the world that we live in and the filth and the grime of the world. And it's a daily grind of just living the Christian life and reading the Word of God and studying the Word of God and going to church and listening to the Word of God and taking the Word of God and allowing the Word of God to change us in such a way that we go out into the world and we live, thus saith the Lord. The average person in the world tonight sees a lot of people. They know what's happening on religious broadcasts and how that one guy is praising God one Sunday and he's out of the ministry the next Sunday. And something happened along the way, and I realize some bad things happened to some good people, but there's a lot of phonies out there too, dear friend. And the world can see that. And what this world needs tonight are believers with a healthy heart tonight, a heart to where the Word of God has penetrated that heart and where the Word of God has set up household inside the heart of that believer and how that the truth is in that person as we've already read. And because of that truth, I mean, it's very evident that the truth dwells in the heart of that believer because the way they live their life portrays what's in their heart. And that's very true tonight. You see, they always say that what's inside the heart will eventually come out. And sometimes what comes out's not good. And the reason that that comes out of the heart of a believer because they've been allowing the world to penetrate the heart and their heart has become darkened. And the heart, as we often preachers will often preach about the hardness of the heart. What hardens the heart of a believer? What hardens the heart of a believer is sin. And we live in a world full of sin. Sin is available anywhere you want to go tonight. We live in the South, and we live in what we call the Bible Belt. Oh, dear friend, what the Bible Belt needs tonight is the Bible. It's very obvious tonight that we're falling short and we're not getting the job done spiritually in this world. And the reason that our churches are struggling, the reason that even the Christian movement maybe is struggling a little bit tonight is because believers are not healthy. And when you have unhealthy believers do unhealthy things. And it damages the cause of Christ. The Bible is the starting point of good health. Tonight, everybody in this room has the potential to having a healthy heart if you've got the Word of God. You say, well, it's hard to understand. Well, you know, I just believe this. I believe, and there's a lot of books out there. I have a lot of books, and there's a lot of good books out there about spiritual things that are good, that are instructive. But, there's a lot of good commentary. But I've often said this. The best commentary on the Word of God is the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God dwells every single believer. And I believe that every single believer has the same potential to read the Word of God and gain what that person needs from the Word of God by the help of the Holy Spirit of God. Our problem tonight is not that we don't understand. Let's be honest, we're lazy. We're lazy often. We don't want to study and we don't want to memorize and we end up not reading the Word of God and then when we start not reading the Word of God and then we start slacking off at church and we don't go faithful to church anymore and we start backing off on that and when all that starts happening, that is the result of a heart that's not healthy spiritually in a person's life. Listen, missing church is not a healthy thing. It's an unhealthy thing. Am I right tonight? You can ask my father tonight who's here tonight. We're a family that's always been raised in church. And I think tonight church is important. I'll be honest with you. I think people will go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, next Saturday night if the church is having services. Every time the church opens the door, I think God's people ought to come. I don't know. Preacher won't have church on Saturday night. Looks like he could get it all in on Sunday. That's the way we think often. Saturday night's my only night off. You know, it's amazing how unspiritual we really are many times. I don't know why he wants to talk about Islam in the last days. I'm not a part of that religion. We gripe and we complain and we're negative and all that. Why is that? And when you find yourself in that position, it's because you're spiritually not healthy. The people of God ought to want to go to church. I mean, it ought to be something that we're excited about. I mean, we ought to, I'll be honest with you. I like going to church. I'll say this. I enjoy coming to church with you. I'm glad you're here tonight. I'm glad you were here this morning. I'm glad that you come back on Wednesday nights. I'm glad to be around the people of God. Because I believe this, if you feel uncomfortable around God's people, but yet you feel comfortable with the world, something's wrong, dear friend. This, you know what a church is? Church is a family. We support one another. We encourage one another. We pray for one another. We enjoy being with each other. We like to cut up with one another. We like to laugh together. Hey, that's what a church ought to be, dear friend. And I need church. We all need church tonight. We need this place tonight. We need what takes place every single week in this room right here. This church is a pretty amazing church with the ministries that it does have and with the school and so forth. But listen, dear friend, I believe this is the most important room in all the ministries of this church right here. Because this is where the preaching of the Word of God comes from. I enjoy singing. I think our church here has a great talent when it comes to music, and I like music, and I like to sing, and I like to hear people sing, and there's joy and comfort that comes when you come to the house of God and you pick up the hymns of the faith and sing about the Lord, and you know there's joy that comes along with that, and I gain strength from that. For instance, Brother Bradley today, to me, he was bubbly today. I mean, he's on top side today. Was he not? I mean, this morning, I could just see it in Brother Bradley's eyes. I mean, he's glad to be here. Man, I like that. I like to see him come up here and as he did this morning and even testify a little bit about the songs, the old hymns of the faith and talking about, hey, you like praise and worship. You're not going to improve on this book right here. He said something like that this morning. Hey, man, you know what I think? I think, man, I like that. Hey, that's better than somebody coming, well, what do y'all want to sing tonight? I don't want to be here no more than you do, so let's hurry up and get it over with. I'm glad that somebody's glad and excited. You know why? Because that makes me excited about the things of God. I mean, if Brother Bradley's going to get excited about it, you know what? I think I'll get excited also. We feed off each other too, by the way. But it all starts right here in the Word of God. Because it's the truth of this right here of why. Let me tell you why we sing the songs and the hymns out of the book, as Brother Bradley mentioned this morning, is because of the truth of the Word of God. You see, tonight, if you take the truth of the Word of God out of the mix tonight, then why have a hymn? Why have songs? Why have happiness? Why be joyful? And the reason I can be joyful and happy and excited and joyful tonight is because of the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God. I like to hear even some of the testimonies tonight. And often we make comments or people will say, I'm just glad to be saved tonight. And we kind of pass over that. But boy, I think all of us can say that tonight. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm glad I'm saved tonight. I'm glad tonight that, hey, dear friend, hey, I know where I'm going tonight. I'm glad of that tonight. I'm glad to be saved tonight. I'd rather be saved tonight. I mean, good night. Can you imagine not being saved tonight? Can you imagine being lost and out of the will of God and not in God's house tonight? I can't imagine not being where I'm at tonight. The reason that I can have joy and praise is because of the Word of God. You see, it's the Word of God that saved me, dear friend. The reason I'm even here tonight is because of the Word of God. Now, Brother Bradley excited me this morning on his excitement, but I'm not back tonight because of Brother Bradley. I'm back tonight because of the truth of the Word of God. This is what ought to draw us tonight. This ought to be the focus and the center of all that we do. I don't care what ministry it may be. The Word of God must be the center of all that we do. Because this is what makes a difference in a person's life. And we've got tonight to also allow the Word of God to affect us. We know the Word of God tonight Most of us tonight know the doctrines of the Word of God tonight, or most of them, or a lot of them tonight. But I'm afraid tonight that we read and know much more than we live. I think we all could say tonight we're all guilty tonight of not being all that we should be. We don't always live Christ-like. We don't always pray for our enemies, and we're not always turning the other cheek, and we're not always nice and polite. We don't always love people tonight. We could go on and on and on, and we could even get very, very specific tonight of failures in our life. But listen tonight, it is important tonight that we come to church even on a Sunday and we sit in our place that we have and we listen to Brother Richardson deliver the message that God gives unto him and take the message that's delivered from the pulpit and take it and allow it to sink into our hearts and make a difference in our hearts so that we can leave here and be all that Christ would have us to be. You're in Acts. Go to Acts chapter 28. If you would tonight, Acts chapter number 28, I'd like to read one other verse tonight with you following along with me. Acts chapter 28 tonight, and make a little reference here, and I'm going to hurry here for sake of time. I've already gone a little long tonight. Acts chapter 28, look at verse, if you would, with me at verse number 27. The Bible says, for the heart, talking about the condition of the heart of the people. The Bible says here, for the heart of the people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Now listen, I want to stop here as we read this verse, and I want to give you a little bit of my opinion here, and that's all it is an opinion. I believe the reason that they've got a heart problem is because of their hearing problem, as we find here. The Bible says they've got a heart problem. Their heart has waxed gross, the Bible says here. And their ears are dull of hearing. Now, they're not deaf. They're just dull of hearing. They can hear, but they only kind of want to. They only hear what they want to hear. That's what my wife says about me all the time. You just hear what you want to hear. Did you know tonight that as a believer, it's easy just to hear what you want to hear? And the Bible says here that they've got a heart problem, and I believe the reason they've got this heart problem is because they're dull of hearing and their eyes, they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart. Then it goes on to say, and should be converted, and I should heal them. It's interesting here, they've got a heart problem. And the Bible tells you why they got the heart problem. The reason their heart is not what it ought to be, and the reason they've got a heart problem spiritually, is because their ears are dull of hearing and they've closed their eyes. And I think tonight, dear friend, that pretty well sums up the average church in America tonight, dear friend. Their ears have become dull to the things of God, to the preaching of the Word of God, and the Word of God itself. And we've closed our eyes and we've allowed a lot of things to come into churches tonight that have no business being in the house of God. And it all starts with hearing. Oh, dear friend, we need to hear the Word of God. We need preaching tonight. I mean, I want to, you know, stress tonight and maybe encourage you tonight, do your very best to never miss a service as long as you're physically able. You know, I've always looked at it this way. I honestly believe God always has something for me every time I come. Now, whether I accept it or whether I get it or not is all based on me. But I really believe that even this morning as I come to church here, Brother Richardson, even though he was struggling a little bit with his problem with his knee because of his surgery, he sat down front and so forth. And as he sat there, I thought to myself, you know, things are different today, but I know God still has something for me today. And I need to find it. And I believe that's to be true every single time I walk in the doors of the church. Now, on the reverse of that, I look at it. If I decide to stay home, then I'm going to miss what God had for me. And when I miss what God had for me, that's not healthy for me. That's going to hurt me spiritually. That's going to weaken me this week. It may cause me to even slip. It may even cause me to fall. It may even cause me to sin because I missed what God had for me when I didn't go. Because I need to hear what God has for me. Oh, there's so much I'd like to say. Even going to church, I've got to make sure that I'm alert when I go to church. Have you ever gone to church and you leave and you can't even remember anything that was said while you were there? I'll be honest with you. I've preached and can't even remember what I preached last week. You know why? Because my ears are dull of hearing. You know, it's easy to go to church and our minds are a million miles away and it's almost like you've got to make yourself prepared. And boy, you got to go to the house of God and make sure you're alert. Make sure you focus. Make sure you pay attention. Make sure that you listen. Because God has something for you. Always. That's why I ought to never miss church. Now, I realize there's times when we may be sick and we're not able to attend. I understand that. If you're sick, don't bring it because I don't want it. There are times that we may be out of town. You may be vacationing. You may be, you know, I understand that's going to happen. But let's be honest. There's a whole lot of people tonight that miss church because their favorite show's on tonight. Or it's football night. Or it's Super Bowl. Or it's this, or it's that, and everybody's got all these excuses of why they can't go. There's no excuse for not being in the house of God, period. And I'm not the president, but I believe, period. And it's easy to hear it when we come to the house of God. Brother Richardson delivers the message, and we... Man, that was good. Amen. I like that. That helps me. That's good. I like what God gave me today. But listen, dear friend, it's a lot more than just that. We've got to walk out the doors of this church and live what God gives us. And that's where we fail so often. And it's easy. We can come to church and never hear anything that's said. We can go to Sunday school and a teacher can teach a lesson and we can leave and never remember anything the teacher says. And it's easy to become dull of hearing. And when you become dull of hearing, I promise you, that's going to affect your spiritual heart too, by the way. My time's up, and I'm done tonight. But I wonder tonight, spiritually tonight, what is the condition of my heart? I mean, I went to the doctor. I went to Miss Jana the other week and having some problems with a foot. And I walk in, first thing they want to do is weigh me. And I say, what's my weight got to do with it? And I was kidding with a young girl, and then she wants to take my blood pressure. I said, I'm here to tell you, it has nothing to do with my heart. It's my foot. If they want to know what my blood pressure is, because my heart is so key to my health. And spiritually tonight, my heart spiritually is so important to my spiritual health. And the only person that can affect my heart and make the choices that affect my heart is only myself. And I've got to make decisions every day of my life of how is this going to affect me spiritually. Because I need to be spiritually healthy if I'm going to make it another week. And the reason some people have been here for years and years, you know, another amazing accomplishment of this church is so many people that's been here for so long. And that's not by mistake. And it's not that they don't have problems. It's not that they haven't had some obstacles in their life. It's not that life was easy for them. The reason that some people are still here tonight is because, you know what, through all the problems and all the struggles, somehow they kept their heart healthy enough to make it another week. And that ought to be our goal, is to make a checkup on our hearts to make sure spiritually that we're healthy. Let's pray, and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Heavenly